everybody doing tonight? Y'all doing well?
All right, good. Good to have you here today. Ready to jump back into God's Word tonight. Looking forward to a good night together. Had a good week so far. Ran a little bit today. Still about to die. But all's good, and hopefully I won't just, if I just fall over, it's because my legs are jelly right now, and just praying and hoping God will give me some power and strength to be able to get through. I'm just kidding. I should be all right. How are you? Everybody good tonight? You ready to get into God's Word together and see what He has for us? If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to preach a sermon tonight on the importance of the gospel that you see in Philippians chapter 1 and the importance that we see of our churches with the gospel being forefront and in our eyes. So when you get there, Philippians chapter 1, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word together? We're just going to walk through this passage tonight. We're going to have some points, but we're going to talk about some other stuff as well. We're going to kind of just see where the Lord leads us and go forward with it. All right. Verse number 27 of Philippians chapter 1. He says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is the clear sign to them of their destruction, but also of your salvation, and that is from God. For it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I now had and I still have." Would you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would meet with us. Lord, the beautiful thing about your Word is it exposes us for who we are. And God, I pray that you would do exactly that tonight. Lord, there's power in just the reading of your Word. There's no need for me to say anything else. You just save just clearly by the reading of your Word. Because there's power in it. It's not power in my sermon. There's not power in my application or illustrations. God, there's power in your Word. God, I do pray that your Word would go forth tonight through the sermon. I pray that you would have free reign in this place tonight. And God, I pray that you would do only what you can do through the power of your Word. May we be a gospel-centered people and a gospel-centered church here at Southford. God, I pray that I would decrease so that you could increase. May your power and presence be felt in this place tonight. God, I pray that your Word would be preached, that Jesus Christ would be exalted, that lives would be changed, and God, that you would be glorified. And all that we say and do here tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Philippians chapter 1 gives us a detailed example of Paul. He has immediately gone into a church that I think he has a great affection for and a love for. You say, well, Paul had a great affection for most of his churches. I would agree with you on that, but I think at times, I don't think Paul had a favorite here with Philippi, but he is much more cautious with them. He's much more encouraging with them. Or I would just say it like this. He doesn't have to get on to them as much as he gets on to everybody else. Corinth, he got on them immediately when he starts. They had sin in the camp. They were divided amongst one another. He pretty much straightens them out pretty quickly. Galatians is the one he got on the most. He didn't even say, "How are you doing? I thank God for every remembrance of you." He just goes in and says, "You've deserted the gospel that I've given to you, and you've gone to a false gospel." In Colossae, he goes to them about a heresy that they have in chapter 1 and goes at them at teaching. But Philippi is one that he has a great affection for. In fact, he says it in chapter 1. He says, "Every time I think of you, I have great affection for you," which is a word, even in our King James, it's probably going to have bowels right there, which actually means from the deepest, most innermost being of who I am, I love you. Now, we don't talk like that today, obviously. We just say we have great love for one another. But he said, or do you do that? Did you, for Valentine's this year, did you get a card and write on it, "Hey, sweetheart, I love you with all the bowels of my heart"? I don't think we did. We just say we have a great love for them. And he always says over and over that he has a great affection for them and he has a great love for them. And I think the reason he has it is because they had the gospel as center in their church, and the gospel was the thing that dictated how they acted and how they worked together
with one purpose and one mind. And I just want to challenge us as a church tonight, do we have the gospel at the center? Now, we live in a day and time to where we've changed the gospel. Well, the gospel never changes. So I just want to start, first of all, as an introduction of what I think the gospel is. We change the gospel to make it things that I don't think it is. Therefore, I want to clarify where we are in order to get to where we're going. And I hope you're okay with that, because I'm going to do it anyway, so just get okay with it tonight. Amen? And that is, we've changed the gospel to things like this. Here's how you get saved. Come to church. Here's how you get saved. Make sure you're faithful in Sunday school. Here's how you're saved. Make sure you just try harder. Here's how you get saved. Try to turn over a new leaf and do better. All those things sound good. They're just not the gospel. Hey, the truth to you tonight, you can come to church all the time, and you can come to church faithfully all the time, and you can get a Sunday school pin saying that you were there every time the doors were open. And I'll go even further. You can preach and pastor at the church you go to all the time, and you can teach Sunday school at the church you go to all the time, and you can still be lost and go to hell. And you can try the hardest that you can, and you can be morally good, and you can even be a good person in the eyes of us that sit around you, and can still be lost and go to hell. Because let me just get something off my chest. Morally good people still go to hell. God's not looking for good people. He's looking for godly people. He's looking for people that know they're not good, but know that Jesus is good and accept Jesus into their life, and therefore he accepts his son. That's the gospel. Or just turn over a new leaf. You don't need a new leaf turned over. It's still bad on the other side as it was on the side you had. You don't need to turn over anything. You need to surrender something, and it's called your life, and you need to accept his life into yours. The gospel is this, that God is holy, and he is far above our standards and principles. Holy means to be set apart. God is so set apart from who we are. If we ever understood how much God hates sin and is against it, we would be amazed that he loves sinners like us. So God is holy, and therefore what do we bring to the equation? We are sinners. Scripture tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He tells us, no one is righteous, no, not one. However good you think you are tonight, and however impressive you think you are, I've got news for you, you're not. I know that hurts, but I'm not either, and you're not either. I had a woman come up one time to my dad. He was preaching, and he said, Paul tells us that it's not about us, it's about Christ. And she came up and she said, I'm offended, I'm a really good person. And he said, well, I didn't say that you weren't a good person. Paul said you weren't a good person. She said, well, if Paul met me, he'd know how good of a person I really was. We're not looking for good people. All of us are sinners and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have missed the mark. All of us are sinners in such a way that we cannot. Let's just boil it down. Because I'm going to preach and then I'm going to preach. We cannot do anything of our own to save ourselves. So leave it there. We're in trouble. Because God is holy and he will not have anything to do with sinners in the sense of them trying to get their own way to him. So there has to be a solution or an avenue by which we can get to God. And we see that through not going to church. We do not see that through going to Sunday school. Although, I hate to say that because that makes you think you don't need to go to church. Okay, so I'll just preach before I preach. Y'all okay? It's Tuesday night. I'm just going to let it loose and let it fly where it is, okay? And that is, we do say this. Well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, good gracious, if you're saved, why aren't you in church? Just throwing that out there every once in a while. Yeah, I mean, why would you not want to be with the body of Christ? Why would you not be there? However, if you're coming to church to find your salvation, and you're finding your saving grace in the fact that you're a dedicated member of this church, then you're going up the wrong tree, amen? Here's what we need. We need a solution, and here's the solution. Not a new leaf, not trying harder, not being morally good, It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We call out to Him. We surrender to Him. We give our life to Him. He gives our life to us. And oh, by the way, a holy God that doesn't have anything to do with sinners now has something to do with sinners, because He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is the gospel right there, that man is a sinner. God is holy, but bless God, He's so good and He's so gracious and He's so loving to you tonight, wherever you sit, wherever you are, that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to you. Therefore, your response is you put your faith and trust in Him and you repent of your sins. That, my friends, is the gospel of God. And He says in Philippians, this was what was crucial to this church. It gives us a few things tonight, I think, a few truths of what the gospel is at center for. And I'll just give you three that I think are. First of all, I think you see them standing for the gospel. They actually standing firm in the faith. I think He also says they're striving for the gospel. And then we're going to take up a little topic we talked about the other night, and that is there seems to be a case that we suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you guys, but our times are changing a little too quickly for me. I think most of us, if we're honest in here tonight, our grandparents would be shocked by what is accepted in our world today. And I'm only 36. And I can guarantee you that my grandpa, that both of them went on to be with glory and in heaven, would be shocked at what we are seeing. And yet I think I want to encourage you tonight to stand firm and to strive together, and even maybe it's going to be the case that we will suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I really want to encourage you as a church tonight. Maybe you don't go here to church, but I want to encourage you as a Christian as well, that the gospel is not something that we pick up when it fits our need. The gospel is what drives us to do what we do as Christians and as the church. And He looks at Philippi and says, I have a great affection for you because you are unwavering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He actually looks down and says this, and I'm going to talk for a minute. He says, only let your life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What He's trying to say right there is, actually, before we even get into the three S's, I'll just say it like this. He constantly says this about our walk being worthy. Where does He say it again? He says it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, remember? He says, walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you've been called to. He says it in Philippians. He says it again in Colossians. Why? Because He's actually going to say this, and I'm going to give you Tim's paraphrase, and then we're going to move on. Y'all ready? Live in such a way to where you act like what you are. Or let's just break it down even more. If you're a Christian, why don't you just go ahead and act like you are? I mean, if you know Christ, people should actually see it. He's going to talk about conduct, and we talked about that the other night, so I'm not going to get into that. But I am going to hit us on the gospel tonight of having a purpose and a plan to do what we do. Because we are not here just to do church and to feel good about ourselves. God has us here for a purpose and a plan and has left us here for a reason, that we would get serious about proclaiming the goodness and the graciousness and the gospel of Jesus Christ. South Fork Baptist Church, may it be said of you that you are serious. Serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, we've got one that's really serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got two of them because we pay them to do it. That's not what I'm asking tonight. I'm asking you, individually in here, those that say they've been redeemed, those that say they've been saved, those that say they've been changed by an everlasting love of Jesus Christ, though they say that they were dead and now they are alive, that had no hope and now they have hope, that were blind and now they can see, that were dead and now alive, those people in here tonight, start living like you are what you are and get serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, He says they are standing firm. I remember when I was a big old boy. Well, I am a big old boy. I say that all the time. Everybody tells me all the time, you shouldn't tell you that you're a big old boy. I just am a big old boy. I don't know why. Y'all pray for me, okay? David, he's on a diet. David, I have a microphone. It's my time. You preach every week.
You have to hear how sad it is that he's on a diet.
I'm barely making it.
I'm like, I'm 400 pounds over here, David. What are you, 150? I feel really bad for you tonight. So pray for your pastor, okay? He's really struggling. I was a big old boy. I didn't play a lot of games when I was little. Because, I mean, we just big old boys. I mean, we weren't allowed to play. Did nobody let you play Red Rover? I mean, because nobody on the other end wanted to see this running at them. Little Susie connected arms with little Betsy, and this husky boy come running at them. And that's what they called you, husky. You know what that meant in that early age? Let me give you the Greek word for husky. It means you're fat, nobody wants to tell you. I know you don't like that. But I found one game I was pretty good at. That was King of the Hill. We played every once in a while because we were just bored, and we actually played outside. I know that never happens anymore, but we went outside every once in a while. And here's what we said. There's a hill over there. Whoever can stand on it the longest without getting pushed off of it wins. And I said, this is my time to shine. I couldn't play hide and seek because I couldn't find enough big enough to hide behind. Couldn't play Red Rover because nobody wanted to see me coming their way. I couldn't do the wheelbarrow race because I couldn't get anybody to pick me up and try to take me around. But King of the Hill, that's my game. Why? Because I was a big old boy, so I settled it down, shifted some weight around, and nobody was going to push me around. And I did a pretty good job at that. Here's what I'd like to challenge you with tonight. Why don't we actually be a church and Christians that actually stand for something? We're so busy wobbling and wiggling around on what we actually believe. Let's find out what we believe, and what we believe is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and let's stand on it no matter what comes our way and what opponent comes our way or whatever the government decides they're going to change every day of the week, and we'll just stick with the stuff no matter what. Now, we'll stick with it in love because truth always comes with love, and love always comes with truth. But bless God, we're going to stand for something. My daddy just told me this. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. I think that's most of our churches this day. We fall for anything. No reason, he says in Ephesians 4, we need to be stable because we're like a child tossed by the waves. I'm amazed by what people will say they believe and what they say they will not believe. I'll just be honest with you, and I'm going to preach, and it gets people's nerves, but that's okay. I can't believe we're having a topic of discussion on what bathroom we're going to use. Somebody told me the other day, you're not supposed to actually talk about that. You're supposed to actually talk about the gospel instead of talking about the bathroom situation. Well, doesn't that have something to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because here's what we're trying to do, and I am going to preach for a little bit, so I hope you're okay with it a little bit tonight, and that is this. Here's what we try to do. We're going to love them to Jesus. But guys, we are going to love them to Jesus, but we're going to have to love them to Jesus by actually telling them the truth. I mean, I love my kids with all my heart. But if they do something wrong, I'm going to whoop them. Now, I know you're not supposed to talk about that in church. Because we're too busy trying to get them timeouts and make sure they're okay. I'm going to whoop them because my daddy whooped me, and I'm okay. You okay? Well, and we say, well, we're just going to love them to Jesus. Well, we're going to trick them to Jesus is what we're going to try to do. And it never works. Now, do I love those that are apart from Christ? Yes. Yes. All are welcome in here. It's on your sign, everyone welcome. Is a homosexual welcome in Southport Baptist Church? Yes. Is somebody that's living together welcome in this place? Yes. Is any sinner welcome in this place? Yes. Because all the saved sinners that sit in these pews say, amen, thank God they welcome me in. However, what we want to do then day and time is we want to say this, that the gospel matters, but we'll never tell them about the gospel, and if we just love them long enough, they'll actually be okay with what they are, and they'll trick them, and we'll get them saved. Well, why don't we just love them long enough to tell them the truth, and lovingly say this, we love you, we care for you, but God's word says what you do is wrong, and what you are is a sinner, but God loves you so much he wants to save you anyway. And we actually stand for something. You say, well, you're narrow-minded and you're old school. I got news for you guys. I'm going to stand. I'm convinced of this. And this is not about me tonight.
But I settled this in the last year when I prayed through it in my quiet time. But we're coming to the day where we're trying to tell everybody what they can and cannot say. And I think they're going to come to the day where they tell us what we can and cannot preach. I don't know if we're there yet, but I think we're getting there. But let me tell you something. They can get that jail cell ready for me if they tell me I got to go against God's word. Because I'm going to stick with the stuff, and I'm going to stick with the word, and I'm going to stand firm with truth and in love because the gospel is at stake. And we actually think that God's changed on things. Well, God's immutable. He doesn't change. And God's word has never changed. Therefore, we're not just narrow-minded, and we're not trying to be mean. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be really loving by standing firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you here. I pastored here for 2 years. There is a liberal agenda in this county. And I love that school, and I'm thankful that we have that school up here. And I am blessed the fact that we have a mission field that God has blessed us with in our back door. You don't have to go to the nations. The nations have been come to you. However, there is a compromising of the gospel with so many churches. Be a church that stands for something. I would say be a church that stands for two things, truth and love. Because here's the truth. Truth is always loving, and love is always truthful. If you take notes, write that down. Truth is always loving, and love is always truthful. Therefore, stand firm. Philippi, I look at you, and I see that you have the gospel at forefront. You are living a life of Christ, and you have this at forefront. But stand firm, because there's coming a day where things are going to be tossing back and forth. Don't be the one that's tossing back and forth like a child. Stand firm in the faith. Be rooted in something. And I would say this. Those that stand firm have some big, strong roots. And you know where they're rooted in? Jesus Christ and His Word. And most of us don't stand for anything. It's because we're never in the Word. We never make it a challenge to get in God's holy Word and to learn and to grow and to actually know what we believe. I would challenge you. Know what you believe. 1 Peter tells us, always get ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Maybe I'm just a nerd. My dad was a pastor. And he would just challenge me on things. He would challenge me to know why I believe on certain areas. And he would always say this, don't just know why you believe certain things, but have Bible verses to match it to what you believe. Because it's not really a matter of what you believe. It matters what God's Word says. And most of us don't know what we believe and we'll fall for anything. It's because we don't actually have the Word of God in our hearts. And we're not welcoming it in our quiet time. That's why we look at these. I wasn't going to preach on this, but I'm going to preach on it anyway. That's why I'm so shocked that Christians believe and listen to so many of these preachers that don't preach truth. I mean, I'll have people tell me my favorite preacher so-and-so on TV, and I'll be like, and you go to my church? Well, you must hate me. Man, let's have some people that stand for something in love. Secondly, they're striving together for something. This is where I want to hit for just a moment. He says, I look down at you and you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind. That is, that not only are you standing, well, let's just go back a little bit. Not only are you standing, but you're united together in that stance. Here's how God, if anything he gets on Philippi for, it's what? If anything. If there's a little questionable fact that he gets on them about anything, it's unity. And I don't even think they had too big of a problem with it, but he consistently comes back to it because I think he's going to see how important it really is to have unity in the body of Christ. Because he tells them to be united in chapter 1. He tells them that example of unity is Jesus Christ in chapter 2. And in chapter 4, he calls two of them by name. Now, I would love to be the preacher that did that. I mean, you get in trouble just saying somebody's name in church. I can't believe he named names. Imagine if you're those two women in chapter 4 that couldn't get along with one another. You just didn't get named in church. You're in the Holy Scriptures. I mean, Eutychus and Syntyche, couldn't you just be quiet and get along with one another? I get in trouble if I say it, but no, I'm not going to say it. Let's just move on. I think that there's an importance that comes with being united together. But what are we united around? The gospel. Here's what we like to be united around. Our likes, our hobbies, where we're from, our education, and our background. And yet he says none of those things are what unite us as believers. And in fact, what really unites us is all the opposite and makes the gospel even better. It's because all of us in here come from different backgrounds. All of us come from different areas. All of us have different financial bank accounts. All of us have different education. And yet we can get along with one another, and that's pretty amazing, because can't nobody get along with anybody in this world today we live in. But we can get along with each other. Why? Because as an example, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we have something in us that's better than our hobbies. And it's better than our likes. And it's better than where we're from. And it's better than how much money we have. What gets us along with one another in here tonight isn't those things. It's Jesus Christ and the gospel that flows from it. That's what our unity comes from. So Southwark Baptist Church, you don't have to find unity. I don't fit. David and me are complete opposites. I mean, bless the Lord. Thank you. In the sovereignty of God, he saw fit to make him a Carolina fan. Otherwise, I don't know if we'd be friends. I told David it was coming tonight. It's coming tonight. David hunts and fishes. He told me, he said, come here and look at this closet I got. There's so much camo in that closet, I got scared, okay? You couldn't pay me money to go out in that field with him. I'm pretty sure he'd shoot me at this point in time, okay? He told me the other day, I didn't even know what he was talking about. I don't hunt or fish. I'm not against anybody that hunts or fishes tonight, okay, amen? And if you hunt or fish, have a blast. But he told me the other day, he said, I hunt. I went over here and I took this deer and, man, I strapped him up to a tree. It takes me 20 minutes to do it. That's if I'm by myself. I can cut it open and I can do this. I can pull this out. I was like, whoa, good gracious. I'm trying to eat in here. I don't know if he used the word gizzards, but we was doing something with that thing. He said, and then I can have that thing in the freezer in 10 minutes. I was thinking, now, I wouldn't even have my camo on in 10 minutes, okay? And I love him. Not because we hunt. In fact, he don't even try to get me to hunt because I'm not going to hunt, okay? Getting in a tree and being quiet is nothing up my alley, okay? But why do I love him and why do I appreciate our friendship so much? It's because we are centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we have the same purpose, the same mission. One, Jesus Christ has changed our lives and he saved us. Two, we have a serious love for the church and serious love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are united on that front. Now, there's other likes that we have, but there's a lot of dislikes that we have. Now, I'm not just trying to make fun of him tonight, because he'd take a few shots at me when he gets up here on Sunday when I leave. At least I had the gall to do it in front of him, amen? But we get so centered around things that are supposed to unite us, and I want to challenge you tonight, stand firm together in the gospel. And I will say this, God will never, never bless a divided church. Let me say that again. God never blesses division. In fact, every time you see it in Scripture, it's always of the devil. God is a God of order, of unity, and it's unified around truth and love, is what Ephesians tells us. And I would just strive for you tonight to stand firm together in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also to strive for it. Strive means to enthusiastically and give great effort in an athletic contest. And what he's going to say, let's just look at it. Striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. I want to challenge you that God did not save you so that you could sit and soak it up. God did not save you, no matter what age you are tonight, whether you are a senior adult, or whether you are a young married, or whether you are a youth, or whether you are a middle age, God did not save you so that you could sit and soak up and just enjoy life. God saved you and left you here because he has the gospel in you and he wants you to proclaim it to a lost and dying world. And he says, let us strive together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Actually, what he's saying is, church, you have a purpose to not only stand for truth, but actually go out and proclaim the truth that you say that you have. Or really, let's just break it down to this. It's time to get to work. I'm amazed more and more. I visit people in the hospitals. We have two opposite generations in this day and time. Every time I visit somebody that's older in age and still has a little unction about them to work, they can't stand being in a hospital bed. And they look at me and they say, Pastor, I just can't wait to get home and do this or do that or work on this or work on that. Because we have to, they want to desperately work and they can't. And our younger generation, some of them, not all of them, you have to beg them to work. But let's go in further. Most of our churches, we have to beg you to work. And he says if the gospel's of importance, you will strive together with one purpose and one mind, and that is you will get serious about the calling that God's called on your life. South Florida Baptist Church, you are not here for just yourself. You are here for one purpose and one mind, and God has you in this body for a specific reason, that you would work side by side together for the gospel of Jesus Christ, going and proclaiming the goodness and the graciousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time to get to work. I mean, sometimes I look at our churches, and I think we're just sitting and hanging out till Jesus comes back. We're not sitting and hanging out till Jesus comes back. We are coming in, we are getting filled up with the Word, we are getting into God's Word so that we can stand on firm truth, but we also leave this place to make a difference, which I'll go with this. If what happens in here doesn't actually make a difference out there, then we're doing something wrong with what we're doing in here. What we do in here should make a drastic difference out there. Because if you notice this, we're out there a lot more than we're in here. So let's strive together. Here's what most of our churches are doing, fighting against one another. I mean, we don't even have to worry about the enemy of Satan. We're just beating each other up in the locker room. Hey, guys, there's enough opponents and opposition on that field. We got less time to worry about the opposition within our own locker room. Let's get serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ and understand that we're to walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, if we are saved, we act like we're saved. Or here's the truth. Here's who gets along with one another. Those that understand that they are saved. And they strive together for the gospel. Man, I'm telling you this. God could do something amazing with this church. I don't care about your size. I don't care about your budget. I don't care about your location. The gospel is good. The gospel is amazing. And if we see a group of believers at South Fork Baptist Church get serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ and hand by hand stand firm in the faith, whatever comes their way, and side by side goes together with the gospel of Jesus Christ, He will bless that, and I am positive of that. But we've professionalized ministry, and as long as David does it, or as long as Lee does it, everything's okay. Good gracious, they only have a little impact. Most of you have been here your whole lives and have influence and impact that only you could have. Let's strive together to make a difference for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us enthusiastically pursue what God has called us to do. And here's what creeps in, apathy and laziness. And that will never be honoring to God. I want to challenge you on that. I want to challenge you to step up to what God has called us to do and to really strive together for the gospel. Not only that, suffer for the gospel, and I'm done. He says, may we find you standing firm in the gospel. May we find you striving for the gospel. And may we find you at times suffering for the gospel. Look what it says in verse number 29. Let's just go to 28. And do not be frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign of them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. He says, do not be frightened by opposition that comes against you. In fact, he says it's a sign of their destruction, but also of your salvation. What's he saying right there? That if you have opposition, you actually are indicating that you are saved. I heard an old preacher say to me like this one time, if the devil's never coming against you, it may not be because you're so strong. Because we think opposition, God's neglected us and he's against us. Sometimes opposition means we're doing exactly what God has called us to do. And it actually proves that we're saved, and it actually proves that they're lost. And he says, just keep going. But he also says this word right here, that we are to suffer for the gospel's sake. I talked about it a little tonight, and I'm not going to go into it a lot. But this is a word that's just, this is a verse that has just radically changed my thinking here lately, which means it's a gift. It's actually the root word for grace, which means a gracious gift. Now, follow my thoughts here, okay? Follow my thoughts. You can agree with me if you agree with me, and you can disagree with me if you want to as well, okay? Is that okay? He said, it's granted unto you that you could believe. Okay, now none of us, as Southern Baptist, Bible-believing Christians in here, would disagree with the fact that faith is a gift. It tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2. That you are saved through grace, through faith, is a gift of God. Right? I mean, we all would agree with that, right? That God has given you a gift that you could believe, and he's given you grace as a gift as well. But it seems to indicate from this, I say seems to indicate a lot. Let's mislead here. It doesn't seem to indicate. It says it exactly right here. Faith, but we're also given the gift of being able to suffer for the glory of God. And that's a hard one. But as I said the other day, I think Paul fulfilled the ministry that God had given him. I am not praying that any of you should suffer or go into anything bad. However, there is a beauty that comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ that I would even say it shines brighter in our suffering. There's been too many times when I've went into hospital rooms or seen church members that have cancer, and God is using that to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And their faithfulness, in spite of their circumstances, and their faithfulness in the suffering, gives glory to God and his gospel. Paul says constantly that he went through suffering. Peter tells us, do not be surprised when we enter fiery trials. James tells us to count it all joy when, not if, we encounter various trials. Paul tells us that he is suffering for his namesake, that all that desire to live a godly life will suffer persecution. And when it comes to the gospel, I think we're coming to the point where we may be getting to the point where we're going to suffer if we stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's don't pat ourselves on the back just yet, because there's believers, brothers and sisters in Christ in China and in India and in Muslim nations are way beyond what we're suffering for. I mean, they're already there. I mean, we say ridiculous things. I mean, we actually think suffering is... Yeah, somebody said, we suffer for the gospel. We can't even say Merry Christmas anymore. Guys, that's not suffering for the gospel, okay? Our brothers and sisters in Christ all across this globe are suffering at the hands... You say, well, there's not a lot of Christians in Muslim nations. You'd be amazed how many missionaries we have over there that are giving the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people are coming to know the Lord. And here's what happens when they come to know the Lord. If their family finds out, or if somebody in that city finds out, they can be killed for their faith. Can you? Our brothers and sisters in China are meeting in secret rooms with the gospel of Jesus Christ because they face death and opposition from their government. So we're not there yet, but I do think we're getting to the point where we're going to find out. I'll just say it like this. I think we're going to find out who's really true Christians here in a little bit. Because it's convenient right now. It's pretty popular. Nobody's coming at us. But we're going to see who's the real deal when things get a little shaky. And we're going to see who's really serious about the gospel when you could lose your life for it. I don't want anybody to suffer, but I think God uses that as a gift to us to, one, show our true faithfulness to God. It makes us more like him. And two, I think it tells the devil, we will stand with Jesus no matter what comes our way. I think it's like Job. Though he slay me, yet I will praise him. He give and he takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the gospel of suffering gives God glory. I want to challenge us as we leave tonight. Let us be a church that is centrally focused on the gospel. Sometimes we get ourselves off-centered. And we make things important that are not important. And they're even good things, but they're not the best thing. And we are in a void for a mission, so we come up with other missions.
I heard this one time. Isn't the mission of the church to make sure church members are happy? I didn't even know what to say because I had so much on my mind. First of all, as a practical point, if you can make them all happy, tell me how you did it. I mean, I can't even get my crew of five to agree where we're going to eat tomorrow night. Me and Christy about got divorced just deciding where we're going to go to Arby's or Hardee's, okay? So, I mean, if you want to make everybody happy, I haven't figured out how you're going to do that yet. I always say things like, well, isn't the purpose of the church so that we can, meet all the needs of the people here? That's not the purpose of our churches. The purpose of our church is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all things. Guys, the focus of what we should be is the gospel. So my challenge to you, South Fork Baptist Church, here at Revival, is that we would stand firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have a preacher who preaches the word. You have a youth pastor that teaches the youth the word. Follow suit and be a people of the word and stands firm no matter what the wind may blow your way, that you would be rooted in Christ and in the Word. And then strive together. If there's disagreements in this body, if there's bitterness in this body, if there's unforgiveness in this body, pew to pew, God will not honor that. Drop your pride, ask for forgiveness, be united one with another, and then side by side, let South Fork Baptist Church get serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, whatever comes your way, whatever opposition, which seems to indicate there's going to be opposition, so get ready for it. And whatever comes your way, or whatever opposition comes your way, remember where Paul is. He's in jail. He thinks he's going to die. He's been chained up for probably a year or two. No matter what you do, make sure that you understand that that has been a gift given to you to give God glory. What is important? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What defines this church? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What's going to help us move forward as a body of believers here at South Fork? The gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be united together under the gospel. Would you pray with me tonight? I want to do a little bit of a different invitation tonight. But maybe, just maybe, you would be one of those that would come to the altar, maybe not even in need of you, but instead are in need of your church. And we as a church body tonight would gather around this altar, and our prayer would be this: God, use us here in this place. Use us here in the Todd community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use us in Watauga County and Ashe County for the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we strive together, not against one another, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whatever wind blows our way, whether it's opposition, our attacks, our criticism, we will stay faithful to the gospel. Because our concern is not our own success, or it's not our own preferences or desires. Tonight, our agenda is simply this: God, that you would be honored and glorified in everything that we do in this church. And that people would come to know a great Savior who loves sinners and who wants to save them through the testimony of the believers at South Fork Baptist Church. If you are here tonight and you need to get saved, and the gospel that was presented at the front of "you are a sinner and God loves you," I want to tell you, me and David are going to be around here after church. We would love to talk to you. We'd love for you to give your life to Christ.
But tonight, this is for the church in here, that we would be together. Not all alike. God never called for uniformity. We're all different. That's the beauty of God. But He does call for unity. That although we are different, that we have something familiar. And the familiar is not our hobbies, our education, or where we are from. Our familiar is Jesus Christ Himself. And individually, we will walk worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then corporately, we will grow together for the gospel. Heavenly Father, I pray right now. God, I have an affection and love for this church. I have an affection and love for this pastor. God, I've had an affection and love just getting to meet some of these people at VBS a few years ago and this week. Such friendly people, such welcoming people, such loving people. And God, I pray right now that You would bless them. Each and every one of them around this altar tonight loves their church. But God, I think more than they love their church, they love their Christ. And God, I pray that You would use them. In an ever-changing day, may this be a stable and firm and striving and glorifying and honoring church. God, may the gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed in Todd, in Watauga, in Ash. Doesn't matter about our resources, doesn't matter about our budget, doesn't matter about the number of attendants we put on that board out there. The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that You'd use them. Senior adults down to youth, to median adults, to young marrieds. God, I don't care their age in here. Until they die, You can use them. And as long as they have breath in their lungs, You can have Your hand upon them. And God, I pray right now that You would do exactly that tonight. Use them. May they stand. May they strive. And if come be it, may they suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may we see many come to know Christ through this body. God, we thank You for who You are. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Hug somebody's neck on your way back to seat. No, you don't have to go back to your seat, Barbara. You're all right. Tim, thank you. Thank you. What a great challenge. Church, I tell you, we're so blessed. I am blessed. I'm so blessed to be in this place, to be with you people. Thank you. Thank you for being people that are serious. You are serious about the gospel. There's a unity and a love here that I've never experienced. I thank You for that. We need to continue in with that, on with that also, because we live in a world that desperately, desperately needs to see serious Christians living out what they believe. So I appreciate that word. Thank you, Tim. We're gonna end in closing prayer. Come back tomorrow night. It'll be our last night. It goes quick. And so come back and be with us tomorrow night. Be careful on the way home. Look for opportunities. Share that love and share the gospel on your way home. They're there every day. So let's end in prayer. Danny, end us in prayer if you would.